Hey, my name is Obsolescence. I will talk today about liberating DJing from megacorps. I'm a techno DJ, tinkerer. I love to explore and learn new things. And that kind of means I don't know anything, I don't know shit, but always eager to learn and explore new things. You can find me on Mastodon, Nerdculture, at Obsolescence. Maybe you all heard about it. Let's make this a little bit bigger. Clubs are dying everywhere. In Berlin, Watergate, very famous mainstream club, had to close. Also, other clubs like Wilde Renate had to close in Berlin. And it's not only a thing that's happening in Berlin. Also, queer clubs have to close, sadly. But also in Leipzig. For example, the very legendary club Distillery, long history, had to close because of a new area for living, houses and apartments. They found a new place now, but gentrification is a big problem for clubs. And of course, also the change in politics, the reduction of money for culture is also a big problem. But there's a funny thing in Leipzig. They made an art installation to show how many clubs already died in the city. Here you see the focus on Pferdehaus. But it's not always politics and governments that make the life difficult for clubs and partygoers. It's also clubs themselves that have very shitty policies or very shitty politics. The also well-known club KitKat, it's a sex club in Berlin, recently let in Till Lindemann after his after it was clear that he's a rapist and sexist anyways. They still let him in. Also clubs in Leipzig have similar problems, even if it's a little bit different topic. They kicked out a Jewish person because of wearing a kufir, which is also very shitty. They got huge backlashes from the community. There were big boycotts going on because this thing unveiled even deeper problems in the structure. And they had to close in the end. We have other clubs in Leipzig that sadly didn't close yet. For example, Conne Island, that is till today advertising to join the Israeli occupation force. We can only hope that they close soon too. And it's not only clubs, but also party series and formats. For example, Boiler Room, which got recently bought by KKR, which is a big investment firm, multi-billion investment firm, and 78% of their investment goes into fossil fuel, but they have a lot of other. Here you can see how they are doing land stealing from indigenous people that are protesting against it, and they are also holding investments in weapon industry, and they now bought this very famous and big platform Boiler Room to better their image. KKR is also involved in a lot of weapons that go to Israel. And so people are wondering why it's so bad in the club industry, why it's so bad in club culture, why it's not fun anymore, why the underground is not really innovative anymore. And I think this is because the scene got very commercial, let itself get bought. And I think it's a little bit places like this here that are DIY spaces that can change this, at least for the people going, maybe not on a big scale, but for the people that are interested in DIY culture, in club culture, in electronic music. And I really hope that people are starting to get a backbone, especially politically, but also think about progressive economic and general concepts for club, how to run a club. I think it's very unfair and not possible that security and awareness are working for minimum wage, while the top line DJs are getting hundreds and hundreds of euros for just playing a couple of hours. And I think this really has to change. The scene is very exploitative. Of course, local bookings, residents, flying around DJs, also not cool anymore. And I also feel that a big part of the scene is not united and embedded in political struggle. They are doing very much their own thing and are really disconnected from what's happening. And I think we should build community and not just a place to consume. And all that in a sustainable way. Decorp club culture. For DIY stuff, so talking about DIY music software, but also lightning solutions. For example, here they're using VLED, and which is a nice, very easy to use and easy to set up tool to control LED chains. There's also CLED, which is a really cool shader software for mappings to make nice visuals. This way, with just a projector and this software in a Linux laptop, you can make really crazy visuals. VLED that I mentioned, Hydra, which also allows you to play with shaders. And for DJing and music making, there's Xvox. It's a DJing software that is focused on digital vinyl, so you can have a special vinyl and an audio interface, and this vinyl has a timecode signal that lets you control the MP3 that's running on your laptop, which is really cool. It's open source also. Everything that I mentioned here is open source. Mix, it's a very big open source DJing software, lets you use controllers. Very cool also, check it out if you don't know it yet. Another special one that I really like is LSDJ. It's a custom ROM for the Game Boy Advance, I think. And it's a little tracker and synthesizer. And that's also really cool. And Strudel, which I recently discovered, it's a live coding environment. And people are doing really crazy music with this. Also really cool. So little shout outs here to the beginning. Talking about the history of DJing, how did we get here with all the digital stuff? Back in the days, there was tape, then of course vinyl, and then around the 2000s, people started putting first CDs, playing CDs. That's why they thought those things here are called CDJs. Only later, they added support for USB pen drives and SD cards. But the problem with this is that it got really expensive. If you look nowadays, of course, a couple of tape decks, it's a couple of bucks, probably you can get them for free. Vinyl players, still expensive, with around 800 euros each, if you get the really good ones. But with CDJs, if you're looking for the new ones, they are already 3,000 each, which is just an insane amount. You need two, that makes it 6,000. You don't even have a mixer yet. That adds another couple hundred bucks. It's just really, really expensive to get started. Yeah. Pioneer, that's the company behind those CDJs. They were really able to start a monopole in the last 20-something years. And they pulled it off really smartly. First, they produced good, reliable hardware, but secondly, they very early with the introduction of being able to play from pen drives, they introduced a proprietary format, how the metadata and library is saved to this pen drive, which makes it very convenient and easy for them to just lock everybody in into their environment and their ecosystem. And this way they got their crazy market dominance that also nobody really can conquer that easily. It's not easy to replace them or get another alternative. Everybody expects this to be there. Everybody that wants to DJ needs to be able to play on these devices. Very often it's not even possible to bring your own computer or laptop or anything into a club. And that's a really big problem for just the diversity of music at all. Also, they bought another big company that's producing a DJ software, Serato, maybe you know it, and it's also now on part of Pioneer. So they're really eating up the market. And all this market dominance, of course, doesn't come without some enchantification. So with the latest update, they really checked all the bingos that are there for enchantification. Of course, there's now a subscription version. You need to subscribe to their services to use the pro features of Rekordbox. The latest hardware edition also is now able to play from the cloud, of course, cloud. They added features that could easily be added with a firmware to the older models. So that's also really not sustainable. And of course, they added bigger screens, because why not bigger screens? And also really funny is they rebranded themselves. You know, I guess Google now sometimes is called Alphabet. Facebook is now sometimes called Meta, or they at least want it to be called. And Pioneer thought, wow, that's two really cool names. I just combine them. I call myself Alpha Theta. It's not Pioneer anymore. It's Alpha Theta for whatever reason. And yeah. Clubs are dead. Long live the DIY scene. And that's what I'm doing here. I think, yeah, I will just tell you about my projects. They are all circulating around the idea of creating solutions for DIY, DJing, and club culture. I started my journey in developing solutions for this with Equi. I did a talk a couple of years ago at Sonoy here in Cologne. And this is an example setup. I built hardware MIDI controllers with a laser cutter. You can see them here on the right. It's an old X230. And that's already a complete DJing setup. I will show you later how that works more exactly. And Equi is basically a DJ mixer, a software. It's modeled after the Play Differently Model 1, so has a little bit different EQ than, for example, this mixer that's in front of me. And it's, of course, possible to add your own MIDI controller, hack in your own MIDI controller, everything's open source, hack around. Yeah. And it's implemented in Faust and Rust, if that's interesting to you. And you can watch the talk at MediaCCC, there's the link, or just check out Sonoy 2023. Here's a little screenshot of the graphical user interface, and this, I think that's the more interesting part. That's how you can route it. In the middle, you can see Equi, the big block with a lot of inputs and outputs and cables running. Do we see my mouse? Yeah, perfect. Here on the left, Libre CDJ. Back in the day, I still called the software Libre CDJ. It's now called Libre DJ. And it leads all the four stereo channels into this Equi software and leads out, for example, send for effects and also the signal for the headphones here. And of course, also the MIDI signals. It's two different controllers, as you saw on the picture here, two controllers, so two cables for the MIDI in, and to control the LEDs, one MIDI cable out. You can think of this a little bit like just here on the back, there's cables going in, and they go to the CDJs or your vinyl players, and the cable to your headphones. It's basically the same, just in software on your computer. And the really nice thing is, you can save those patches and load them again, so you don't have to cable it. You can just connect by USB, as I did here. There's a USB Type-B cable here. Connect to it, I load this patch bay here, and then it automatically connects everything that I want. I will talk about this later also a little bit more. Then another thing that I wrote, it's called Serial to MIDI. It's just a small little CLI tool that allows you to map serial devices, think Arduino Unos, but also other serial USB devices to virtual MIDI devices. This way you can use old microcontrollers and hack around on this. I used it long time, so it's quite battle tested. Now, talking about LibreDJ, the focus of this talk. LibreDJ is a new DJing, open source DJing software that I'm writing. I brought you a sadly not screenshot yet, it's just the screen design, but my current vision is that it goes somewhere like this. How it actually looks right now is like this. So you see a library view here, the current selected cover. Here on the top you have four channels, or like four decks, with the names of the tracks loaded, and the waveform indicator for loops and all that stuff. Here it's the playhead. Yeah, that's the stuff we have here. The goals for this software is it should be reliable and good sounding. Reliable means it should not randomly crash. Reliable means it shouldn't have weird bugs that fuck up your set, all that stuff. So I should be trustable. Good sounding means there shouldn't be any audio degradation or anything. If we pitch the tracks up and down, the resampling should be done nicely and all those things. Also, I'm using it myself, so of course I want it to be fun to use. It's not always given, it's not always a given. And it's all in this tradition of DIY and modularity, so it really should embrace this and not lock you into something. There's also non-goals, things that I'm not interested in doing in this software, and that's internal mixing. I really think external mixing is nicer either in software with EQI or like here connected to an external big hardware mixer. It can also be analog. This one is digital. Also really not interested in any AI bullshit. And also no auto DJ, self-mixing, radio broadcasting stuff. All that should be just piped into with Jack if you want to stream it to a radio or something like that. The philosophy behind this project is also built around that. First, doc feeding. That means all the features are driven by the need and by the need of a DJ. So I don't want to have features that someone envisions and nobody uses. I think that's just really easy to derail a project this way. So also to avoid feature creep. The code, I want it to be modular so that it can be pulled out and built together in a different way. So right now, for example, the backend and the GUI is completely separated, but also each deck is their own library. So even if you want to, for example, port it to a microcontroller or something like that, the code base should be able to do that. And also for the UI, I want it to be simplistic. There's no internal mixing, so we can scrap a lot of UI elements and really focus on the mixing. It's something that I think Pioneer really got right. The user interface is very minimal, very little distracting, and I think that's really nice. It should not be in the way of DJing. I shouldn't be drawn to the screen all the time and lose focus on the people dancing. Also save Rust, because Rust is nice. It's a problem that I think a lot of people that code on music stuff have. They hack more on the tools than actually make music on it. I definitely know it for myself. Maybe some of you can relate. Talking about DJ software also means talking about what hardware it supports, because normally you want to connect your DJing software to an external controller to get like a jog wheel that you can rotate, which is similar or resembles a vinyl. And you have like a long pitch fader and stuff like that. And actually that's supported. I was looking around long time in the internet to find a controller that suits my needs, because I wanted to be able to have one controller with which I can control four decks, and very often they build the controllers in a way that you either need to build buy multiple ones, or there's already two stick together with a mixer in between or stuff like that. It's really difficult to find those single deck controllers. This one is more than 10 years old, I think, and it's not getting produced anymore, but you can find them online on Kleinanzeigen and stuff like that. I got mine for like $80. But I'm also really interested in seeing if it's not possible to pull it off as open hardware, because it's not super complicated. The mechanical part of the jogwheel is a little bit complicated, but everything else, the faders, the buttons, that's basically off-the-shelf stuff and not super difficult to DIY or like just build as a hardware kit, open hardware kit. So in case someone is interested in building open hardware music gear, please contact me. I would love to talk with you. Of course, it's possible to build and write custom MIDI mappings. I saw Corbin had this LNN Heath K2 laying around, which I think could be also really interesting to map for this software. And basically, I expose a little interface. In Rust, it's called trait that you need to implement and then register this MIDI mapping. And this way, it shows up and is able to control all of the audio engine. But there's also examples in my repository if you're interested in that, or you can also ask questions later. Another thing that I'm really focusing on with the software is keyboard support. I really want it to be very well usable with the keyboard, because I think it's just annoying in a club or in a dusty environment or whatever to be there with your touchpad trying to find something and click on it. It always looks stupid and is also really annoying, and then your fingers are oily or sweaty and then it's doing weird stuff. So actually it has no mouse support right now. It's only able to do keyboard support. I got really inspired by the Helix editor. I don't know if you know it, but you press escape and then you open a menu and then press alphabetic button character, for example A, and this in my case lets you add a track to a playlist. That's because it's with A and stuff like that. I'll show it to you later. But that's a little bit the design philosophy here, or the UX. And of course, you can write keyboard bindings. Everything is remappable. How to get started? What do you need to get started with LibreDJ? First, you need some kind of mixer. Either it's EQI as a software mixer or an external mixer like this. It can also only have two channels. Can also be a lot more simple than this one, but you need one. And in case the mixer doesn't have an internal audio interface, you need an external audio interface, like some Behringer or something that, of course, then has the needed amount of outputs. The software is tailored towards Linux and Pipewire, or more exactly Jack. Jack is this thing, this cable routing thingy that I showed you before. If you want to do music with Linux, really check it out. It's amazing. And of course, a pair of headphones and analyzed tracks. So you should analyze your tracks to figure out the key and the BPM. Currently, LibreDJ is not able to pull that off, but you can use Mix, the open source DJ software that I talked about before. You just need to, in the settings, say, write the BPM and key back into the metadata of the file, so in the ID3 tags, and then LibreDJ can read them out of the file. And that's basically all you need. Of course, you need to build the software. I will not talk about that. It's all in the README. And here I have a little comment that I used to start LibreDJ for myself. And I will just walk you real quick through the things. Pipewire Quantum is an environment variable. Basically, we have four environment variables here to configure it right now. The Pipewire Quantum thingy allows you to set the buffer size. It's a technical term. It basically means how reactive the DJ software is, and the smaller means lower latency. So if you press a button, the lower the latency is, that or the lower this number is, the more reactive this is happening, whatever you do. Then you need to define the path where to save and load playlists from. Here, this is in my case, my music techno playlists folder. then the root of my library, it's just a techno folder, and another path where the history file is written to. Whenever you play a track for longer than 1 minute, it will be marked as played, and this track will then get written to a playlist file. It's a normal M3U file, so you can listen to the tracks you played in, for example, VLC or something. And also load that file again to have a playlist ready. And this down here, this is just to use pipewire check. Maybe you don't need it on your system. And this is the command to compile the Rust code and run it in release mode with all the optimizations. Yeah, that's basically it. I really recommend you to do some session management once you figured out your setup. I personally hack it together with CeliJ, which is a Rust TMUX alternative, which has built-in session management. So you can just define a couple of panes, like in TMUX, and say here in this pane start this program, and here that, and there that. And that's a really nice Linuxy way of doing it. Then I already mentioned it before, QPV graph. It's a pipewire graph tool to do all the cable management. You saw it in the screenshot before. And as a bonus, I switched to Nix last year with Flakes and Git for reproducibility. And that's actually a really nice way, because you don't, if you're DJing, you don't want things to randomly change the day before your live set or like your when you play. And Nix is really nice to help you with saying, okay, this is always running that version, this is always running in that version. And only when you say you want to update it, only then it's getting updated. And my DJ setup is, you can find on my Codeberg, and there you can also look how I'm pulling it off. It also is starting effects, so also effects I can show you later will be able to use with the mixer. For effects, there's Cardinal, which is a modular Eurorack emulator simulator. Really crazy thing. It gives you like guitar pedals and stuff like that, and thousands of them. And you can change them together and build really crazy effects. Really powerful. Dragonfly Reverb, really good sounding reverb. Air Windows, it's a little bit an underdog in open source plugin ecosystem. And also has really nice plugins, check them out. And also you can integrate any VST or LV2 plugin you want into this kind of setup. For this you can use plugin hosts like Kala or Jauf. If this all sounds interesting, join the effort. I would love to talk to you. You can message me on any of those places that I mentioned here. Or really just talk with me after the talk. And now some live demo. So here you can see a terminal. This is my DJ setup, exactly the same as in my repository. And I built a little setup for this PX5 Allen and Heath mixer. And I will just start it now. Here you see the CeliJ session. It's starting two effects. This is, I think, the reverb. This is the delay. This here is Libre DJ. This is just a monitoring to see what's running. And one of them is the QPV graph, which I think is not running yet. Now it's running, yeah. Here you see the patch bay. You see Libre, still called Libre CDJ here, because it's an older version, and running all the 8 mono signals or 4 stereo signals into the mixer. And also we have one send effect on the mixer here that I'm routing into my delay. It only has one, therefore the reverb, which is somewhere here, is not connected right now. And let's look into Libre DJ. Let's make it full screen. It looks like this. Okay, yeah, that looks nice. And as I said before, everything is controlled with the keyboard. So with the arrow keys, I can go through the list here, through the library. Let's go into my library and August. So just the tracks I added in August. Here on the right, you see the cover image whenever there is one. And here you see the BPM, the key, so the Tonhöhe, artist, and the track name, and here the comment field. No, that's the mood. And I also have another field here that you don't see that I can put comments in. I normally do hashtags to kind of specify what kind of mood this is. We can now, let's just load it real quick. With W, I can play it. And so this is now deck one or deck A. Change the metadata, that's already possible from inside the software. I press escape, this pop-up opens, the main menu basically, and then it says E for edit metadata. I press E, and then I can select through the different fields and just change them, and I will just say here deep. I think it's also quite hypnotic and also very organic. So I add that too. Press enter, it's saved, it's there. All nice and good. And I will show you through a couple of things. I already showed you how to play the track, it's with W. If I play it again, of course it stops. With N, M, the triangles, I don't know how they are called exactly, and the slash, so on the English keyboard, this row down here, okay, you cannot see it, I don't know, I think, no. Cannot see it. So it's the lowest row above the space bar next to the arrow keys. With this, I can cycle through the track in by beats. So I can do beat jumps, it's called in other softwares. So N moves one beat forward. If I press Shift N, for example, it moves one beat backwards. M does two beats. If I do Shift M, two beats backwards. Then comma gives me 4 beats, point gives me 8 beats, and slash gives me 32 beats. And this way I can very quickly go through the track. For example here, find the first beat. With ASDF, I can nudge the track. It's a little bit, imagine like you're putting your fingers on the vinyl and move it around to find the beginning of the track. That's what I can do with ASDF. So here you hear the transient of the kick. With AS I can go backwards, with DF I can go forward, and S and D, so the middle ones, give me like small nudges, the outer ones bigger nudges. This way I can really dial in the kick. With Q I can cue. Cueing means the track plays as long as I press the key. If I release it, it stops again. This is really nice to knock in a track. So I can really play it whenever I press the key. And imagine another track is running, and this way I can beat match, and I can play it in the same beat, and this way get the beginning right, get the first kick, the first transient right. I will show it to you later. Let's get it starting. The track is running now. Good thing if you don't know it. If a track is queuing and you want it and you release it, of course it will stop. So if you want it to keep running, you need to press W or play together. Okay, this didn't work. I think I kept it pressed too long. Let's try it again. So now it worked. Nice. That's one track running. With F1, F2, F3, F4, I can select the different decks. Ah, what I didn't tell you is I completely forgot my DJ controller back in home. That's why I will have to play on the keyboard today. But this is also a good situation to show you how nice the keyboard bindings actually are. Back before I had this controller, I was playing just with the keyboard every now and then. Okay, I pressed F2. You see the cursor is now yellow. It's the deck B now. And now I can just select another track. Let's try out this one. Actually, same artist. Let's go for something different. Same thing again. We can cue. I will put the fader up here. Make it a little bit louder so you hear it. No, maybe not that loud. So you hear, I now follow the kick. Now you can hear that it's still a little bit off. I can use again the ASDF buttons to nudge the track now while running. I think that sounds about right. Loaded is actually at 130 BPM. The first one was at 127. I automatically, whenever a track is loaded, sync the tempo. So the tempo is just matched. This makes it a lot easier. You don't need to dial in the correct tempo. Still, you can change it with the keys ZX, Z and V. For example, V, I can now make the tracks go a little faster. And for all tracks together. So you can have three tracks running and you can make them all together faster or slower, which is really nice if you're mixing with more than two decks and are using a lot of loops to layer the sound together, which is a nice technique to build interesting sets. It's not, you just not only play the track as it's original, but you always add on top different things, change out the kicks and stuff like that, and just keep three decks running to give it your own style and make, like, mold the tracks and make them like you want them to sound with what is possible with a mixer. I now swapped the kick, so the other kick is running now. New sounds here. Now I press F3 and now I can run a track. Let me listen to them. Thank you. again, using ASDF to match the track so that it kicks the line. Little session on questions and people that want to try it out, and then afterwards play a little music and play a little set.
Yeah, thank you very much for the talk. Do you change anything on the track audio settings during a set? That's set in stone
no.
When it's running.
I have the real-time settings enabled in NixOS. There's a module for that, so you need to get the preemptive kernel thingies running, but that's it. And the only other thing with this environment variable that I showed before, I lowered the buffer size to 256 samples.
What I mean is you put in a reverb or a delay or something like that in your configuration in check?
Ah, yeah.
Do you fiddle around with that during a set?
Yes, I do. That's something I didn't show you. If you want, I can show it to you real quick. The track is running. then I have here a send knob, and this way I can set the, how much percent of this track or how much volume basically is getting routed back into the laptop on this 5th stereo channel. This goes into this delay, which is this cardinal patch, and something like this.
Okay, first of all, thank you so much. This is great. Like, I really love it. And especially because a couple of years ago, I was like going through like DJ controllers, and like a lot of my friends, they would use Traktor and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then you would always need like the software, and it has to be on Windows and stuff like this. And so I was looking a little bit into it, and I found Mix too. But Mix is then only good for like MIDI controllers, and you couldn't really use it for. So this kind of closes the gap, which is, I think, great. I think the interface and everything looks really clean and everything. And like so far, I'm really impressed by what you did so far. I mean, that's really great. And one question I had was, what was the number? There was like, can you switch back to the what is the, there's this 3.1.6, it's like, so there's the track duration, and underneath it, there's like a jumping number.
Ah, this year.
Which one, what would that be?
It's counting the beats, so it's always counting 1, 2, 3, 4, and then increases the second number, which is giving you, I think it's not the bar, but kind of the bar, and that's also counting up to 4. And this way you always know in which phase kind of you are.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
It will be visualized nicer at some point. It's how it is right now. Not really helpful, but it is there.
Okay, cool, thanks.
Yeah, pretty cool project. I'm already wondering, will it run on a Raspberry Pi?
I guess so. I ran it, or my baseline test is my X230 with maybe i5, maybe i3. So I guess it's running on a new Raspberry Pi 2. I'm not sure if everything is able to compile on ARM yet. But I think it should. Maybe it needs some patches for the encoding, decoding stuff. But yeah, maybe it already has it. Could very be possible. Oh. Any more questions?
Yeah, it looks really good. You said you're not into AI stuff, but do you have an overview of what it's out in the market? Because I'm not that much of a good DJ, but I'm starting to use more software. Mm-hmm. And I recently got to know, if you know, DJ Studio. It's from a Dutch guy. He's also a DJ who is doing lots of stuff with AI. So like getting like the drums, the vocals separated for that stuff. Is that something which you're not willing to do, or if it's something you don't want to do?
I think we have to differentiate a little bit with what we mean with AI. If it's about stem separation, honestly, I definitely follow what's going on there, and I never listened to a stem separation algorithm that in my ears actually sounded good without any post-processing. So I think for doing remixes, this is a very nice tool, but just for DJing, in my ear, all the examples I listened to and tried out, I always heard artifacts. And what I'm definitely not interested in is baking a model and stuff into the DJing software to pull this up on the fly. What's definitely possible and might be cool is be able to support stems. So there's media containers where you just have multiple audio tracks for the kick, for the instrumentals, the vocal, and the percussions. And then it would be just a matter of voluming, gaining those different channels and then mixing them. That might be something that can be cool and also not too difficult to pull off, but definitely not baking in some AI model into the software itself. This follows very much the Unix philosophy of one thing doing its own thing and not being like a super big do-everything monolith. But what I'm really not interested in is all this auto-DJing stuff. I think what's nice about DJing is the human factor and being able to put in emotion by DJing. And I think there's already quite a distance from the actual audio by being digital. I think with vinyl, maybe you were to some really nice house music party and the people were pulling it off on vinyl, and then you hear this little vinyl screeching here and there. And I think that's amazing, that's really cool, and gives it a lot of texture that is really nice and enjoyable and feeling. And actually, with a lot of digital sets where everything is quantized, I feel them boring. They are just too perfect and lack character, in my opinion. And I think AI is only accelerating this. And I try to create software which still allows you to put in your own character.
I didn't catch all of the talk, so maybe you already talked about this, but are the analyzed tracks compatible with CDJs?
Again, what's the analyzed tracks compatible with CDJs?
Yes.
No, because the CDJs have this, I guess you know about it, this proprietary format, and it's not able to export it to that. And I think also nobody yet pulled it off. They are reverse engineering this format, but they are still... There's some bits and bytes that they are not sure what they mean in this very special old database thingy that's nobody using and is proprietary. Yeah. But in case of there being a solution for that, this could be something that maybe not exporting, but definitely playing from record box sticks. That could be something I'm up to integrate.
Can we find your software somewhere, and what are your next steps, or what's your next plans for it?
Yes, you can find it. It's up on my Codeberg, codeberg.org/obsolescence. The links are somewhere in it. I think I also added it to the pre-talks description, so you can find it there. The next steps are the waveform rendering is still a little bit janky here and there. I'm already working on making it better, so that's the next thing I want to do. And then I want to revamp the audio engine a little bit and to be able to pull off sample accurate replaying, so having events or things happening in the middle of a buffer, for example.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay, if there aren't any further questions, we would close this session. And it will continue in a live set.
Yes.
And after that, we will have further live sets this evening. And tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., the talks and workshops will continue. So please give a warm applause for Leon, and enjoy the music.
Thank you.